Today's shiur is Masech de Kedushin Daf Chavav, and we will begin on Daf Chavav Amid Aleph at the top of the Amid at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Nechasim Shiyesh Lamachrayis. Nechasim, for which there's a chrayis, which there's a responsibility, which we know refers to karka, refers to real estate. The reason karka is considered Nechasim Shiyesh Lamachrayis is because typically when real estate was sold, the din would be that if there's a lien that takes effect on any real estate, and therefore even if I sell real estate but there is a lien, I owe money, somebody could come and collect that real estate from the person I owe money to, obviously provided that the money was owed to the person prior to the sale. The Mefarshim ask that even though we just explained that when the Mishnah uses the words Nechasim Shiyesh Lamachrayis, it means karka, why doesn't the Mishnah just use the word karka? So Mefarshim answer, because the halacha is that if there's something attached to the ground, they are also considered like karka. So if the Mishnah would just use the word karka, we would make an error perhaps to believe that property itself can be bought this way, nothing else. That's why the Mishnah uses the words Nechasim Shesh L'machrayis, that will include the property, the items that are attached to the ground. So Nechasim Shesh L'machrayis Nitnim B'Kesef B'Shtar U'B'Chazaka. The Mefarshim point out that the Mishnah mentions Kesef and Shtar before Chazaka, even though it may well be that Chazaka is a stronger form of Kinyan than Kesef and Shtar, but at least they explain in Kesef and Shtar something is being given over from one party to the next party, either the Kesef or the Shtar. And Chazaka, since nothing is being given over, so that brings sort of a weakness to that type of Kinyan, and that's why it's mentioned last. The Rishonim also ask, why isn't Chalipin mentioned as one of the ways that Karka could be bought? So they explain that since Chalipin works both by Karka and by Metatlin, our Mishnah is trying to show the distinction that this works here and this works there. This doesn't work. This works by both, and that's why it's not mentioned. Another explanation is that the Rabbeinu Tam suggests that Chalipin is a form of Kinyan Kesef, and since our Mishnah mentions Kesef, that's why the Mishnah also doesn't have to mention Chalipin. Another teretz that the Rishonim suggest is that although Chalipin do work when one is purchasing karka, they don't work when one is renting karka, and therefore the Mishnah only wanted to mention types of kinyonim that work on all types of transaction that are involved in real estate, whereas chalipin doesn't work in every type of karka transaction. Sheila Machrayis, the Chosim Eila Machrayis, which is another way of saying metatlin, and a nikna alba mashicha, are only nikna alba mashicha. And the Rishonim point out that certainly when the Mishnah says that these properties and a nikna alba mashicha doesn't mean that only mashicha will work, for the din is, as we learned in the previous shir, hagboha certainly works. Hagboha, we explained, is actually perhaps the best type of kinyan when talking about metatlin. Furthermore, as we learned in the previous year, according to the opinion of Rashi, Mesira is a stronger type of Kinyan than Mashicha. So if our Mishnah says Mashicha works, certainly Mesira will work. The point that our Mishnah is trying to make, the Rishonim explain, is that the three types of Kinyonim that the Mishnah mentioned work by Karka, Kesef, Shtar, V'Chazaka will not be effective by Metatlin. Continues the Mishnah, Nechasim she'en lamachrayis niknim im nechasim she'esh lamachrayis. This is what's known as This is what is known as kinyan agav, that once a kinyan is being done, an effective kinyan for karka, it can also positively be a kinyan for metaltlin. We will spend much time in the Gemara explaining kinyan agav. Here, actually, the Mishnah is saying there is a din that in which karka, in which metaltlin are stronger than karka. There are times where the Torah requires that somebody make a shvuah. The best example is always Moedim Amitzis, where the Torah says that if somebody has a claim against me and I partially admit to that claim, the halach is that I have to make a shvuah. Midaraisa, a Moedim Amitzis only makes a shvuah by metaltlin, not by karka. However, our Mishnah is teaching us that we that a Gilgal shvuah, that once I'm obligated to make a shvuah regarding metaltlin, I also will have to make a shvuah regarding karka. That is what is known as Gilgal shvuah, and we will discuss more about that, Mitzvah Shem, in the coming shiur. So the first type of kinyan that was mentioned in our Mishnah, which is affected by karka, is the kesef. Kesef could affect the kinyan. And we actually have a very fundamental machloikis, what are the mechanics of a kinyan kesef. The Sma explains that kinyan kesef should be understood as a payment. I'm paying for the item that I'm buying. And even if I'm not paying the entire value of what I'm buying, I'm only giving a pruta. As we know, a pruta is enough to create a kinyan. Explains the Sma, the way the halacha views that pruta, the halacha views that pruta as if it's a down payment for the entire amount that is owed. The Taz, however, explains that kinyan kesef is not to be viewed as a payment or a down payment, but rather the Torah is teaching us that kesef is a way to affect a kinyan of a transaction. And I was thinking perhaps this machloikis is actually connected to another machloikis, actually a machloikis rishonim. When we speak about kinyan kesef, does shava kesef have the same din as kesef? According to the Sma, the kesef is to be viewed as a down payment, so it doesn't make a difference if I use kesef or I use shava kesef for the down payment. If, on the other hand, we view it as a special din, that the Torah teaches us that a kesef can make a kinyan, perhaps only kesef can make a kinyan and not shava kesef. So says the Gemara, how do we know that kesef can make a kinyan? Amechezki amekra, the pasuk says sodus bekesef yiknu, where the Navi tells Klal Yisrael, we will not be in Golus forever, we will come back to Yisrael and we will buy property. Ask Tosfos, why does the Gemara have to quote a pasuk in Yirmiyah when we have the pasuk by Avram Avinu, which we quoted at the beginning of the Masechta, that the pasuk teaches us that Avram bought the field, bought the Maris HaMachpelah from Ephraim with Kesef? So many terutzim are given to this kasha. Taisha says that there we were referring to a kinyan from a goy. And since the various other kinyanim that we will learn about aren't applicable by a goy, so certainly kinyan kesef has to work. However, by a Jew, where we have other, as we've learned and will learn, there are other forms of kinyanim, perhaps kinyan kesef would not be effective. Another teretz is we find that Avram Avinu paid Ephraim in full. Abba meis kesef over l'soicher. So perhaps only when one is paid in full, that's when the Torah teaches us in the Parshas Ephraim that a kinyan kesef is effective. We're trying to learn that even without full payment, a kinyan kesef is effective. Another teretz that is that there, it was a mecher. Ephraim sold the Maris and Machpelah to Avraham Avinu. But our Gemara wants to know that how do we know that even by matana, a kesef could affect a kinyan? That's why we need another pasuk. And yet another teretz that I saw is in that situation we were referring to Avraham Avinu buying the Ma'aretz HaMachpelah, which we know was in Eretz Yisrael. And since Eretz Yisrael, or Klal Yisrael, Avraham Avinu, have a strong connection to Eretz Yisrael, perhaps in such circumstances, Kesef could affect the Kinyan. But our Gemara wants to understand that how do we know that Kesef could affect the Kinyan, even in a situation where we don't have such a strong connection like Klal Yisrael has to Eretz Yisrael? For that, the Gemara has to bring another pasuk of Sadus B'Kesef Yiknu. Ask the Gemara, Veima Adik Ishtar. Perhaps a Kesef is only effective if there's a Shtar being given along with the Kesef. The Ksiv, as the pasuk over there says, V'Ksoi B'Seif V'Chasoim, recorded into a document. Answers the Gemara, Iksiv Yiknu L'Psoif. If the Torah would have used the word Yiknu at the end of the pasuk, indeed, we could explain that the pasuk is teaching us only after the Kesef is coupled together with a Shtar do we have an effective Kinyan. But if we look at the pasuk, Hashdiksiv Yiknu Mikara, the pasuk uses the words Yiknu prior to using the words Kesef of V'Ksoy B'Seif V'Chsoim, Kesef Kani, so it's a proof that the Kesef itself creates a Kinyan, and the Shtar is a Raya Ba'amahu, the Shtar is only here as a Raya. However, says the Gemara Amar Rav, Loi Shanu, when is Kesef alone adequate to create a Kinyan? Loi Shanu Al B'Makom She'en Kais M'Shtar, only in a place where Shtaris were not written. Avo B'Makom She'en Kais M'Shtar, in a place where Shtaris are written, Loi Kana, there, until there's a shtar also, we don't have an effective kinyan. Actually, there's a machloitis rishonim how to understand this gemara. Some rishonim say that the gemara referring here to a shtar kinyan, and the gemara is saying that in a place where we don't just write, we don't rely on kesef alone, but we require a shtar kinyan, the halacha is that until the shtar kinyan is written, we don't have a kinyan. But according to those rishonim, our Gemara is not discussing a shtar raya. Even if there is a custom to write a shtar raya, the shtar raya has no impact on the kinyan kesef. However, the Ran himself says that a shtar, when our Gemara speaks about a shtar, it's not only speaking about a shtar kinyan, it's even speaking about a shtar raya. He says the only difference between a shtar kinyan and a shtar raya is that a shtar kinyan, if we're in a place where besides the kesef being used to affect the transaction, a shtar is also written, the transaction would not be considered effective until the date of the shtar kinyan. Whereas we were relying on a shtar raya, so yes, the transaction is not considered consummated until the shtar raya is written, but the effective date of the kinyan is not the date of the shtar raya, rather the date of the kinyan kesef, because the shtar raya itself doesn't create a kinyan. There's a machlokes rishonim if this thing that we're speaking about kesef not being adequate alone, but we need shtar along with it, was it also said regarding kinyan chalipin? Was it also said regarding kinyan chazaka? The Arishonim say that only a kinyan kesef, which is considered sort of a weaker kinyan, will require the shtar to be also written. But kinyan chalipin and kinyan chazaka, which are stronger forms of kinyanim, there we don't need a shtar. Whereas other Rishonim explain that if the Gemara here is teaching us that every kinyan, in order to be consummated, needs a shtar, it makes no difference if the shtar kinyan, or if it's a kinyan kesef, or kinyan chazaka, or kinyan chalipin. The Paiskim discuss that actually this question, if a kinyan kesef on its own can be effective, or do we need the kinyan shtar coupled with it, actually is a question that is relevant nowadays also. The Paiskim discuss taboo. This is a word that's used still today in Israel. Taboo is what we would call a registrar, where when one buys or sells property, it's properly registered, the deed is properly registered. And the question that comes up by the Paiskim is if one bought or sold the property, followed all the various kinyonim that our Gemara discusses, but it wasn't registered in the taboo, it wasn't registered by the registrar, will that be considered a valid kinyon or not? There's a tshuva for a Meir Arik, in the Shalos HaTshuvos Imre Yosher, where he says, where he discusses a case where somebody, one neighbor, had bought the rights to put his oven on property that was owned by another neighbor, and after many years of this being the case, the seller, the person who gave up rights in his property, had already passed away, and his yorshim come with a claim to this person that this deal was never properly registered. Says Rameya Arik, the fact that this person was on this property for all these years and nobody protested, the owner of the property did not protest, that is a proof that there was a valid kinyan, even if it wasn't properly registered. But again, the question comes up nowadays if something is not properly registered. So the Chazon Ish suggests that, as we've explained previously, the entire purpose of kinyan is to show Gemiras Das that there's a seriousness to complete this transaction, and therefore if one goes through all of the proper procedures of doing a kinyan, even if it wasn't properly registered in the taboo, halachically it would be considered a kinyan. Which in itself brings up a very interesting question. We know that there's a very controversial discussion regarding the shtar mechira. If somebody could sell property in Eretz Yisrael to a goy, and by selling the property to a goy, he avoids the problem of shmita, he could avoid the problem of trumas and maestras. And the Chazon Ish himself, who was a very big opponent of this approach, said one of the reasons he says that it's not valid because it's not a real kinyan, because it isn't properly registered. But the question that comes up is that the Chazon Ish himself, we just explained, says that a kinyan is considered valid even if it wasn't properly registered. So why is the kinyan or the shtar mechira to a goy not considered valid because it wasn't registered? So the Chazon Ish himself explains there's a difference between a kinyan that takes place between two Jews, that we're following what we're learning now in the Gemara, the various methods of affecting a kinyan, versus a situation where one is selling or buying with a goy, that the various dinim, obviously, that we're learning in our Gemara don't apply, and therefore a kinyan to be considered valid, it has to be properly registered, and if it isn't properly registered, if the deed is not properly registered, it's a proof that it's not a real kinyan. So it says the Gemara, Parish, that if the seller indicates that he wants to affect the kinyan with kesef alone, or shtar alone, Parish, then that stipulation is valid, even though the prevailing minig might be that you have to have kesef and shtar. And the Gemara brings such a situation. Ki hader av idi bar oven, ki zoven ara. When he would sell property, Omer, he would say, ibli nekaspe ikbi, if I want that kesef should affect the kinyan, fine. Ibli nishtar ikni, if I want that shtar could affect the kinyan. And he explained himself. That once kesef is given and you want to retract, because I could choose that kesef alone, once kesef was exchanged, it's considered a valid kinyan. But he said, I also retain the right to say that until the shtar is also written, if I want it, I, the seller, want to retract Hadranabay. And what the Gemara is essentially teaching us, explained to Mefarshim, is that when one enters into a deal, it doesn't have to necessarily be equal to the seller and to the buyer. As long as it was clearly stipulated, the terms of the deal, even though the terms might be more advantageous to the seller than to the buyer, if the buyer accepted this deal, that will be indeed the deal that he has to follow. Ubishtar, says the Gemara, Bishtar Manolon, Ilayim Shum Diksiv, V'ksoyim B'seif, V'ksoyim B'hayit Edim, which is the continuation of the pasuk that we learned previously. Says the Gemara Amrit, we explained that shtar didn't affect the kinyan. That shtar was shtar raya ba'amahu. But that shtar only was there as a raya, not to affect the kinyan. So how do we know that kesa, that shtar is an effective kinyan? Ela mehacha, says the Gemara, because the pasuk says ve'ekech a sefer hamikna. And again, the Rishonim ask, even though that pasuk in Yirmiyahu also speaks about kesef, because the pasuk says veshkel aloyas a kesef. So how can we say from that pasuk that shtar is effective where their kesef was also exchanged? So Rishonim answer, since the pasuk uses this very strong terminology, sefer hamikna, that the sefer creates the mikna, that the sefer creates the kinyan, is a proof that a shtar alone can create kinyan. Says the Gemara, Amish Shmuel, Loi Shana Alav Shtar Matana. Everything that we discussed that a Shtar could affect the Kinyan is only by Matana. Av B'mecher, when we were referring to a sale, Lekana Akshit Damim. A Shtar alone cannot affect the Kinyan, the entire price has to be paid. And the Mefarshim explained, most Mefarshim say that the full price has to be paid, not just the Pruta. Masra Amnuna, Asra Amnuna, it says in a braisa, Bishtar Ketzad, how is there a Kinyan Bishtar? Kosovla al Anayar or al Cheris, if it was written on Anayar or Cheris, Abishem Bishava Pruta. And the Mefarshim, we've discussed some of these dinim, explain when the braisa says that a shtar can be written al Cheris, it represents the opinion of Rabbi Lezer. For we learned in Masechta Gittin, a machloikis between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lezer. Ramei is of the opinion Ede Chesima Karati. Rabbi Lezer is of the opinion Ede Mesira Karati. So according to Rabbi Lezer, who says Ede Chesima Karati, that's Ede Mesira Karati, so the document itself doesn't have to be that strong. And therefore, according to Rabbi Lezer, the document can be written on Cheres. However, according to Ramei, who's of the opinion that Ede Chesima Karati, so the validity of the document is crucial, and therefore, according to Rabbi Lezer, a shtar cannot be written on a cheres. Furthermore, the Rishonim ask, of course the shtar doesn't have to be Shava Pruta, because if the shtar has to be a Shava Pruta, then we don't have to use it as a shtar. It could be effective as kesef. So why does the Brice have to teach us that the shtar doesn't have to be shava pruta? Answer the Rishonim. Since the pasuk uses the words v'nosan, the Torah speaks about v'nosan, the Torah uses the words v'ekach, so we would think that if the shtar is not worth a pruta, nothing has actually been given. That's why the Torah has to use the word, that's why the Brice has to teach us, that by shtar you don't need to have a shava pruta. If he wrote sadim mechurloch, sadim nesunloch, harezim mechur v'nesuna. So we see that a shtar is effective without any kesef. Says the Gemara, who moisef lov, who mefarakla? He was the one that asked the question, he's the one that answered it. But moichas sadevim neirosa. We're referring to a situation where the property was sold because it's a very poor property, and as we learned earlier, therefore the person is very anxious to sell the property, and with shtar alone we have gemiras das. The chidah says this concept that our Gemara speaks about, the meicher sodeim bnei ra'asa, we find in the Megillah. We find that Haman said tachashverish. Im al melech toif yikosev l'avdom v'seres alof v'mkikar kesev eshkel l'melech in shav l'anicham. So he says, I'm selling you the Jews' cost of La'avdam, just with a shtar. I will ask that a shtar alone shouldn't be effective. So Haman says, Lamelech ain't shavla nichem. The Jews are worthless. And we just explained that Moich Sada Mepnei Ra'asa. There the halach is that shtar alone affects a kenyan. Ravashi gives a different teretz. But Makosh Bamvatan Bikish Lutan Law. Really, this was a situation where it was being given as a gift. So Vulama Kosva Allah. And by gift, even Shmuel agrees that money doesn't have to be given. So why did he use the Lashon Mecher if all he meant was to give a gift? Was Kedela Yapis Koichai, which means as follows. If I sell a property to someone else, and then the person who has that property that was once mine, that property is taken from him because there was a lien on that property, the halach is that he could come back to me with a claim. You sold me a property that I lost because I had to give it back to the person who had a claim on it. That's only when a property is sold. But when a property is given as a gift, if I give somebody a property as a gift, and then that person loses the property because a lien on that property, there the halacha would be that he can't make that claim. That's the Gemara over here. So I want to give the person who I gave this field as a gift the power, not just as a gift receiver, but as a purchaser, and that's why he used the lashon of mechira. But the question comes up, so if all he wanted to do was give him the power of a mechira, so why did he use the lashon of nesunalach, the lashon of matana? So the Rishonim explain that just like there are advantages in mechira over matana, there are also advantages in matana over mechira. And Rishonim point out the two such advantages. One advantage is regarding the din of bar mitzvah. The halacha is that if I have a property to sell, my neighbor has right of first refusal. But the Gemara in Masechta Baba Basra explains that's only when I'm selling property. So there's my neighbor who wants to buy the property and someone else who wants to buy the property. So my neighbor says, we're both going to spend money, so you should buy property elsewhere and let me buy property here, which is next to my other property. But that's only when I'm selling property. When I'm giving away property, this whole logic doesn't apply. And therefore the din of bar mitzvah doesn't apply when property is being given as a matana. And that's why this person not only used the lashon mechira, but he also used the lashon matana. Another advantage that Rishonim suggest that a matana has over mechira is as follows. Many times we discuss if somebody sells a property, bein yofu meicher, bein rohu meicher, is he sell something in a generous attitude or not with a generous attitude? So Mefarshim explain that's only when one sells something. However, when somebody gives a matana, nice matana, somebody who gives a matana always gives it in a very generous way. And that's what the Gemara is saying here, that he also wanted to include the lashon of a matana, because matana represents that strength that it will be a much more generous interpretation if there's any dispute what was or wasn't included in the gift. The Rishonim also discuss that now that we've explained that there was both a mechira and a matana, were both the mechira and matana included in one document, or were there two separate documents, one being a shtar mechira and one being a shtar matana? Some Rishonim suggest that it was actually one document that has in it both elements. However, many Rishonim say that it's difficult to understand how one document could have in it both a mechira and a matana. If it's a mechira, it's not a matana, and if it's a matana, it's not a mechira. And therefore, those Rishonim suggest that there were two documents written, one document being a shtar mechira, another document being a shtar matana, and the person who receives the field uses whichever document is to his benefit. If it's to his benefit to use the shtar mechira, he'll use the shtar mechira. If it's to his benefit to use the shtar matana, he'll use the shtar matana. The next type of kinyan that was discussed in our Mishnah was chazaka. Menolon, from where do we know the chazaka is effective? Amechiskia, amekra, v'shvu b'reichem asher tofastem. Dwell in the cities that you have seized, b'mat tofastem v'yeshiva. The Beir Shmuel Tana, the pasuk says regarding Klal Yisrael when they entered at Yisrael, for Yerishta Ois of Yishavtem Ba, but Ma Yerashtem, how did you acquire at Yisrael be Yeshiva by making Chazakim? There's a Machlokes Rishonim, how Chazakim works. Some Rishonim suggest that just Yeshiva alone, inhabiting the land, creates a Chazakim, which seems to be what the Gemara is teaching us, because the Gemara is saying, "B'ma yirashtem b'yeshiva." Just by inhabiting the property, you have had created ownership. However, many Rishonim suggest that chazaka doesn't get created just with a yeshiva, just by inhabiting the property. An actual maisa chazaka, an actual act, has to occur. And typically, when one lives on a piece of property, he does something to the property to improve it to whatever is to his advantage, and that's why it would be a valid kinyan. Chazaka requires an act. The Mefarshim also ask that here we're referring to Klal Yisrael coming to Eretz Yisrael, and their ownership of Eretz Yisrael happens through, was created through chazaka. As the Mefarshim, we know that Eretz Yisrael was divided to us through a Goyal that was administered by the Urim V'Tumim. So how can we suggest that it was done through Chazaka? So the Beis Halevi answers that the Goyal only determined big Eretz Yisrael had to be divided amongst the Shvatim. The Goyal determined which part of Eretz Yisrael will go to each Shevet. But now that we have these parts divided, and now we're going to have to further subdivide them to the different families, the different members of each Shevet, that wasn't done through the Goyal. That was accomplished through Chazaka. That's the Beis Halevi's Teretz. Others explain that actually Eretz Yisrael was divided to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, to those that left Mitzrayim, even though none of them were alive. Now when Eretz Yisrael is actually being divided, the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael was given to those individuals. So they explain, since the individuals who actually received Eretz Yisrael were no longer alive, and their grandchildren were receiving it as their descendants, how did the grandchildren receive it? Through a kinyan chazaka, which the Mefarshim point out is actually the subject of a machlokes in the Gemara. And some say that Eretz Yisrael was not divided to the Yotzei Mitzrayim. Eretz Yisrael was rather divided to those that actually entered Eretz Yisrael. So how will we explain according to that opinion? So Mefarshim explain as follows. Even if we'll say that Eretz Yisrael was divided amongst those that actually entered Eretz Yisrael, we know that Yeshua brought Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, and it took them 14 years to do Kibush and Chalukah. It took them 14 years to divide Eretz Yisrael, and conquer Eretz Yisrael. So, even if Yeshua gave it to Klal Yisrael in that fashion, it took them another 14 years. So, in the interim, they weren't there. So after 14 years, when they were ready to actually inhabit their properties in Eretz Yisrael, they needed to do a Maisa Chazaka. V'she'en l'chrem r'chrayis, Mishnah said, Metatlin, ein nikten el b'mashicha. Ask them, Menolan, how do you know the Mashicha is effective? T'ksiv, v'chi simkru memka l'misecha, okonu miyad misecha, dova ha'nikten miyad v'yad. We see the Metatlin are transferred by Mesira. Ask the Gemara, Ulu Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Domit Vat Torah Mozkanis. The opinion of Rabbi Yochanan is that even Metatlin are only transferred through Kesef. My Iklamemer, how will we explain the Mishnah, that the Mishnah says the Metatlin Adon, the Kinyan is with Mesira? Answers the Gemara, Tana Tana Derabana Ketanti. The way the Mefarshim explain is as follows. Even Rabbi Yochanan, who is of the opinion that Kesef is what's used to Midaraisa, to create a Kinyan by Metatlin, agrees that Midrabanan, the Rabbanan said we should use Mesira. And the reason is, as the Gemara explains in Masechta Bava Metzia, because the Chazal were concerned that if kesef will afflict a kinyan, what will happen is like this. I will buy wheat from someone else. I'll give him kesef, so the wheat is technically mine, and it's ready, but it's still in the warehouse of the seller. And then when I come to collect the wheat, the seller would tell me, Nisrafu chitayich b'aliyah, your wheat got burnt, and he didn't have any reason to protect or save my wheat because it wasn't his. However, if it's not transferred until there was actually a mesira, that will make him concerned that he should not give it away, that he should protect it because he knows it's still his because the kinyan wasn't consummated. Nechasim she'en lemachrayis, we learned in the Mishnah, Nechasim she'en lemachrayis can be nikna with kinyan agav. Menanim ili, how do we know that kinyan agav is effective? Or mechizkiyah, or mekraw, v'yitul ha'mavim matanis, im ari mitzuris b'yehuda. So we see that the metaplin were nikna together with the karka. Ibrahim, ask the Gemara, being in Tziburim, in a situation of kinyan agav, do we need that the metaplin that we're repurchasing together with the karka actually be on the karka or loy? So the Rishonim ask, if we're going to hold the be'inot tziburim, that we need that the property, that the metaplin actually be on the karka, so then why is the halacha, why would we even have a shaila? Why shouldn't it be considered a situation of a kinyan chatzar? So Rishonim give two answers. A kinyan chatzar is only effective by a chatzar ha-mishtameris, by a chatzar which is properly secured. A kinyan agav doesn't require a chatzar ha-mishtameris. And that's why here, tziburim, that's why even if it's tziburim, kinyan chatzar would not be effective, we would need a kinyan agav. Another teretz that the Rishonim give is that kinyan chatzar can only work if I own a chatzar, and then metaplin are put on my chatzar, so kinyan chatzar is a way for those metaplin to become mine. However, let's say I don't own the chatzar yet, and there are metaplin on the chatzar, and then I buy the chatzar, that will not be an effective way of making a kinyan in those metaplin. For kinyan agav, it doesn't make a difference. So that's why here we may need tziburim, even though kinyan chatzar would not be effective. Amar Yitzchak Toshma, b'kiva I'm a karka kalshu, even the smallest piece of property chayavus b'peya or b'kurim. Rashi and Tosfos both point out that regarding vidui, there is no obligation to have any property. One could say vidui, you know, the vidui maisa was said every 3 years, even if one doesn't own property. Even though it says, Uvarachas amchas yisrovas and domash nusat alamnu, says Rashi, and Tosfos explains the same, it doesn't say, ashnusat ali, it says, ashnusat alamnu, so even if this particular Jew doesn't own property, but since he's part of Klal Yisrael, who owns Eretz Yisrael, we could say, ashnusat alamnu. In fact, I saw that the Shaul HaMeshev, the Shaul Tshuva Shaul HaMeshev, uses this concept that Rashi and Tosfos now teach us to discuss an interesting Shaila. The question comes up, if on a fast day, somebody can't fast, and he's not fasting, the question comes up, could he say Aneinu? Because part of the Aneinu is to say, B'yoyim Tzoyim Tainas Hazeh. Could somebody say B'yoyim Tzoyim Tainas Hazeh if he's not fasting? So the halacha, the Shaul HaMeshev says, just like somebody could say vidui meiser, even though he doesn't own any property, but he's part of Klal Yisrael, who's saying asher nesata lanu, same could be regarding vidui, regarding a fast. He could say yoyim tzoyim tanis hazeh, even though he personally is not fasting. Well, lichta la prosbo. Furthermore, prosbo, we know that when Shemitah comes, all debts are canceled, but till came up with a prosbo, which is a way of canceling, of avoiding that problem, but there has to be property in order for a prosbo to be written. And the Rishonim debate why. Rashi seems to say because nobody would lend to anyone else without property, so that's why prosbo is only done in a normal circumstances where there was property. Other Rishonim explain because when there's property, it's like there's a mashkin, and when there's a mashkin, there's no din of Shemitah. The Nafkamina, the Mefarshim explain between Rashi's approach and Tosfos' approach is if somebody, when he wrote the Prosbul, had property, but then when Shemitah came, he doesn't have the property anymore. According to Rashi, it would be a valid Prosbul. According to Tosfos, perhaps it wouldn't be a valid Prosbul. The Rishonim also point out that if somebody owns a place, a plot for burial, or just because he's a part of Eretz Yisrael, where all of Yisrael, Yeshlom, Chelik, Eretz Yisrael, that is not enough for a Prosbul. We're looking at some Mechrayis. We see that even a small piece of property is enough to do a Kinyan Agav. Says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, if we're going to say that Tziburim is required, how could Kinyan Agav be effective? Koshel Maichazi, what could you do with a small piece of property? Says the Gemara, Tigmar of Shmuel Babizna Kamed Rav Yosef, Kigon Shanots Bamachet. It's referring to a case where you could put a needle onto a small piece of property. Says Rav Yosef, Amalei Rav Yosef Kavastim, you're annoying me with this answer. Ich batana l'shmina machet, we have a whole braisa to teach us that you could have a small piece of property and they could put a needle on it, and that's how we could have a Kinyan Agav. Says the Gemara, Amar Ravashi, Man Leiman on the Loi Talba Maganisa. Perhaps on top of this needle, there's a diamond, the Shavya Afizuzay. So, in other words, we could perhaps still hold that in order for a Kinyan Agav to be effective, it has to be Tziburin. Tashma, Amar Belaza. Basim and Meduni Achachai Bishlaim. There was a story with a Meduni in Yerushalayim, Shaila Metatlan Habe, that had many Metatlan, Obike Shlitna Matana, who wanted to give it as a gift to a specific person. Amloi, Enoi Takana, there is no other way of transferring this, Achitna Magabakarka, unless the Kinyan Agav is done. So what did he do? Holach v'lokach beis sela samach u'shlaim. He went and purchased a beis sela of land. The Gemara is learning that it's the size of a coin, the size of a sela near u'shlaim. Farshim point out it was samach u'shlaim, but not in u'shlaim, because u'shlaim lo neschalka l'shvatim. U'shlaim wasn't divided up amongst the shvatim, and therefore in u'shlaim properties were not sold. And said that the northern part of this property should belong to so-and-so. And with him 100 sheep and 100 barrels or mace. And then this person died. And they validated the sale. Says the Gemara, if we're going to say for a Kinyan Agav to be valid, the items being given have to be actually on the property. How much can we put on the piece of property that's the size of a seller? Says the Rami Savit Beis Sela Sela Mamish. Do you think that it means the piece of property the size of a Sela? My Sela? It means the Nafesh Tova. It was actually a large piece of property. But my Karle Sela. So why was it called Sela if it's such a large piece of property? The Kashika Sela, it was a very hard piece of property, like a rock. It didn't really have, it wasn't a fertile piece of property. But it was certainly a large piece of property where it perhaps could have been Saburin. Tashma. There was a situation with somebody who was sick in Yerushalayim, Kribalezer. Even though we've learned, Divrei Shchimra Kiksuvim Kimesurim Dami, and a Shchimra doesn't have to make a kinyan for his word, for his act to be valid, Kribalezer says that din is only on Shabbos. During the week, since making a kinyan, as we're learning, is relatively easy, even a Shchimra has to make a Kinyan. Only on Shabbos, where Kinyanim are prohibited, and we're concerned for the mental welfare of the Shchimra, is a Kinyan not required. Vamila, I'll just say that this individual, Bariaya, Kurabonim, and therefore he was a healthy person, and in order for a Kinyan to be effective, it had to have, in order for a transaction to be effective, we had to have a Kinyan. Shaila Matapim Habri, or Big Shilip Mamatana, he had many Metaplan, that he wanted to give a gift. Amalai, and they told him, ain't like the Kana, your only option is Achikna Magaba Karka, to do a Kinyan Agav. Ma'asa, Hala Fakal Lakak, Beis Roiva Samach Yerushalayim, he bought a Beis Roiva of land near Yerushalayim. Vamar, and he said, Tefach HaTefach Leplani, I'm giving a Tefach of this property to this individual. Ve'imoi, Me'et Son, Me'et Chavius, Ve'meis, Ve'kimach HaChemis Devarav. says the Gemara again, V'amrit bin tzburim. If we're going to say that for kinyan agav to be valid, the items have to be actually on the piece of property, tefach al tefach, l'may chazi, what could you put on a tefach? Says the Gemara, achim may skinel, l'demay. We weren't talking about the actual sheep and barrels, we're talking about the value, says the Gemara, and that's the sensible way of understanding. If he was doing, they was giving them sheep and barrels, why didn't he make a kinyan chalipin? And as the Rishonim explained, if he was giving him value, if he was giving him money, money cannot be transferred through chalipin. But soin and chavius can be transferred through chalipin. Velamai, what are you going to say, l'demei? So even if it's money, why not do kinyan mishicha? Elo, it must be the leisel mekabel matana. The person who he was giving it to wasn't here to do the mishicha. So the same reason, hachanam leisel mekabel matana, the reason the chalipin wasn't an option was because the person himself wasn't here to do the chalipin. And as the Rishonim explained, nobody was willing to offer their item with which the chalipin is to be used on this person's behalf. Says the Gemara, but if kinyan mishicha, if we're talking about the actual tzoyin and chavius, and we could do mishicha for niskel nilei agav acher, so why can't, if this person wanted to give someone else the tzoyin and chavius, he could ask someone else to do the mishicha on his on behalf of the recipient. And therefore, if we're talking about the tzoyin and chavius themselves, why was kinyan agav absolutely necessary? Says the Gemara, the giver did not trust anybody to do mashiach on behalf of the recipient, because sover shamat vachlu. He was concerned that the person who actually would do the mashiach wouldn't tell the real recipient that it was done on your behalf. He would just keep it himself. Says the Gemara, el mai ein lo takana. So why does the Braisa say they had no takana? If mashiach was an option, says the Gemara, this is the way to understand the Braisa. Lamai somchadate. Given that this person who was giving the gift was a person who didn't trust anybody to do mashiach, because he was afraid that it would never end up in the proper hands, the only way to do a kinyan which will resolve his concerns, ain't like takana achyikna gabakarka, to do a kinyan agav. But perhaps the kinyan agav, since it was money, or since it was money, we don't have a clear proof to our shaila if tziburim, if by kinyan agav, do we need the item to be actually on the property or not? And that's where we end our shir. We're still in the middle of the question, if by kinyan agav, do we need the item to actually be on the property or not?